Is communism inevitable? Half a dozen countries of Europe have now fallen to the communists. Communism knocks at the door of several others. Large parts of China, Mongolia, Manchuria are already communist. In 1848, Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto wrote, quote, "A specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. Let the ruling classes tremble," end quote. It was largely wishful thinking on his part then. Today, it is a reality. Communism is haunting the world. But it is not just the ruling classes who tremble. The working class in the conquered and threatened countries tremble too, for they are learning that communism means tyranny, the destruction of personal liberty, and the end of all those Christian values which in the past we have taken for granted, but which are the basis of our way of life. There can therefore be no question of the end justifying the means, for they are equally evil. Here in Britain, communism is not numerically strong. Membership of the Communist Party has never been above 60,000 and has often been much less. But more than 10,000 members pass through its ranks each year, and several thousands more through the Young Communist League, and in doing so, lose their faith and accept new, cynical, inverted standards. And the party's influence is vastly in excess of its numerical strength. This is partly because of its form of organization and its hold on leading positions in the trade union and labor movement, but still more because of the devotion and energy of its members. A number of the most important trade unions have communists in their leadership, and almost all unions have an overweighting of communists in responsible positions at district and branch levels. Those positions have, first and foremost, been obtained because of the readiness to accept responsibility and to do the most routine and least sought-after jobs where necessary. Membership of the appropriate trade union and cooperative society is made a condition of membership of the party, and members are taught that they must be the best possible members of those organizations. The result is that communists everywhere tend to be elected to positions of responsibility and quickly move up the ladder from one level to the next. That process is at times accelerated by the aid of packed meetings and even by subterfuge, but far more often it is due to the energy of the communists and the apathy of non-communists. It could quickly be brought to an end by an increased sense of responsibility on the part of their opponents, and in particular, Catholics who are aware of the real danger of communism and the urgent need to defeat it. Vigilance and energy on the part of such organizations as the Association of Catholic Trade Unionists could break the communist hold on our labor movement in a very short time. But outmaneuvering the communists will not be enough if the victory is to be a lasting one. The greater sense of responsibility and willingness to give time and work to such organizations will require to be an enduring one, or the pertinacity of the communists will again prevail. And the same may be said of all those other organizations which the communists have captured or penetrated. Student bodies, tenants' organizations, cooperative societies, sections of the Labor Party, cultural organizations, the factory organizations of the workers, and so on. The strength of the Communist Party lies in the zeal of its members, for whom no sacrifice is too great, no job too hard. Fired with enthusiasm for the teachings which are for them their religion, they put Christians and non-communists to shame. Their success is a measure of our failure to make the same sacrifice for a better cause, and to the extent to which we see this and act upon it, shall we defeat them.